Praise the Lord, and thank you for tuning in again to In the Light. It's a blessing to have you with us, and we're continuing in our study on building for eternity. We've been talking about building for eternity, and we're going to pick right back up with that lesson. And when we last were together, we were looking in Genesis 6 at the life of Noah, and we began to look at the contrast and similarities, rather, of these last days in which we're living and the time in which Noah was living. As we know that there's a great event that's about to happen, and in Noah's day there was a great event that was on the horizon that the people of the world were dull to. They had no idea that God was about to do something great in the earth, something that would affect their very life, their very existence. And Noah knew it, and the Bible even declares that he preached about it, because the Bible talks of Noah as a preacher of righteousness, and we'll see that in the scripture shortly. But all around Noah, there was darkness, there was sin, evil abounded, and we're going to go back through those scriptures briefly just to recap some of the things we highlighted, and then we're going to go a little bit further to see what God's resolution for Noah himself, as one that was prepared for eternity, as one that was prepared for the event, for the thing that God had on the horizon that was about to happen in the earth. He was prepared for that, and we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should have our spiritual thermometer on and up to the degree that we are aware that there is a major event about to happen, glory be to God, and that is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We started this teaching off by understanding and laying the foundation that the Lord Jesus is on his way back. It's been preached for 2,000 years, and the time is finally at hand, glory be to God. So we cannot afford to allow ourselves to become lazy and dull and slack concerning the things of God, but this is the time to kick it up into the highest gear. This is the time to be on our P's and Q's, if you will, focused in on who God is, what he's called us to do, and fulfilling our purpose in this last day, so that not only we ourselves can be saved, but we can save those that we come in contact with. We can be an agent of the Lord for him to minister his help, his salvation, his light, his truth to them, so that we can all be ready for eternity, because everyone will enter into eternity. The only question is, which part of eternity will you experience? There will be those that will enter into the eternity with the devil, and there will be those that will enter into eternity with God and enjoy everlasting life. That is the focus. That is what God's desire is for every person on the face of the earth. No one, the Bible says that he doesn't want any to perish, but that all would come into the knowledge, the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we prepare to build for eternity, that's going to be a key part in us reaching out to others to let them know, hey, you're living in a critical time, and you know, you really need to consider the Lord and the things that God has said in his word as primary in your life. So going back into Genesis chapter 6, as we pick up from last time, I'm going to pick back up and just lay a foundation beginning in verse 5 here. The scripture says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And I think we can adequately say that that is exactly the time we're living in today, where whenever you turn on the television, whenever any type of media is brought before you in print or in television video mode, via the internet, whatever it is, radio, it's filled with perversion. I mean, you really have to make a consecrated effort to stay pure and clean from all those negative influences. The Bible says that the thoughts of his heart, of man's heart, was only evil continually. "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." In other words, God's heart was so broken that he was actually sorry that he made man. His prized creation, that he would share a family and have a family in the earth. Now his heart was so broken by all the sin and all the wickedness that he just regretted ever having made man. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Hallelujah. But there was one person, one righteous man that God was able to look at. And I can imagine God taking a sigh of relief and going, oh, but there's Noah. And see, that's how we want the Lord to be able to look at our lives. We want him to be able to see. Yes, he's going to see, and he knows about all the wickedness and all the perversion and all the evil that is running rampant in the earth today. But then he looks over at his children. He looks over at his body, at his church, and he can take a sigh of relief and look over to Jesus and says, oh, but there's the body. There's the body of Christ. There's my children doing right, living right, honoring me, fearing me. And God can go forward and know that his plan will be fulfilled. And that was the way he felt about Noah. In fact, Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. And when you find favor with God, your life will never be the same. And Noah's life was exalted to such a point that everybody else suffered destruction except him and his family. That is the favor of God. So Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. There wasn't any type of favoritism going on with God saying, oh, well, I'm going to pick Noah out of all of the bunch. No, there was a clear reason why Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was a clear reason why God spoke to Noah's heart about the plan of redemption and salvation of mankind. It was because Noah was a righteous, just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Hallelujah. And the scripture says, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee, Noah, however, an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And behold, I, verse 17, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Glory be to God. And the Bible tells us at the end of that chapter in verse 6, in verse 22, chapter 6, verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So we see Noah continuing on in that pattern of hearing and obeying the Lord. And chapter 7, verse 1 says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And you know, as I just mentioned a moment ago, Noah was the only righteous person, the Bible says, in the entire earth at that time that God pointed out and that God could find to work with and to continue the human lifespan. If Noah had not been righteous, all humanity as we know it would have been wiped out at that very time. And who knows if God would have started over with a new family in the earth or if that would have been the end of mankind. But just one righteous person was all it took for God's plan to go forward. And so I want to encourage you today. You may feel isolated in your faith at times. You may feel like you're the only person that's taking a stand for God. You're the only person that thinks and follows after the Lord. And you're the only person on your job that has a heart towards God and that's committed to the Lord. You stand strong. Don't you compromise. Don't you allow the sin and the wickedness that you may see every day around you, that you may hear come out of other people's mouths, that you may be confronted with, the temptation. You continue to stand strong and persist and grow in your walk with the Lord, because he rewards that. He notices it and he rewards it. And you never know, you may be the one person that can allow the plan of God to go forward. Never say, well, I'm just one person, what can I do? Oh, you are one person, and oh my, what can you do? What can one righteous man do? Just look at Noah. Just look at Jesus. Just look at Joseph. Glory be to God. The Bible is filled with examples of men and women of God who took a stand for God, who walked with God, and who allowed the plan and purpose of God in that day and that hour to prevail. Look at Esther. So you rise up and you go forth in the power and the plan of God for your life. Now, I want to share with you, because here the Bible says that God saw Noah as righteous, and And the scripture actually tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And just real quickly, I want to look at that over in 2 Peter and look at what the scripture had to say about Noah. Because this is key, and I'm kind of just kind of restating some things that I shared a few moments ago about our responsibility. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, and actually I want to go to 2 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 4. It says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." You see, Noah preached righteousness. When God spoke that word to Noah, when God told Noah, "I'm about to destroy this earth because the violence and the wickedness has filled it and I can't tolerate it any longer. But Noah, you are a man I found righteous in my sight, and so I'm going to work my plan through you. And because of your faithfulness to me, I'm going to preserve you and your family and your families, your children's wives and all your family with you." Noah didn't keep it to himself. Noah didn't say, "Well, good for me. I hate it for all these other people." No, Noah was busy about warning and exhorting and admonishing the people year after year after year, decade after decade. And don't you know they ridiculed him? Don't you know they mocked him? Don't you know they called him a crazy old man? And he suffered persecution because of his faith in God and what God said. I mean, they didn't even know what rain was. They're going to have a flood on the earth. They probably laughed that off as something this crazy old man just thought up in his mind. Because at that time, the Bible teaches us that rain did not come down from heaven to water the earth. The earth was actually watered through an underground irrigation system. So people didn't even know what rain was. And so there was no faith there. They had no faith. They just could not believe what Noah was saying would actually happen. And so they continued to live day in and day out as if nothing would ever change. But there came a time of judgment. And we're living in a time of judgment at this time where our deeds are rewarded. The whole kingdom of God, the system of life, is based upon seed, time, and harvest. And when the cup is full, then the judgment or the due reward is poured forth. In this instance, the cup was full of violence, it was full of wickedness, it was full of perversion, and so the cup of destruction poured forth. We're seeing some of that in this very hour in which we're living, because the times are quite parallel between when Noah was in the earth and what we're existing in and where we're living right now. And I'm going to share that with you out of the scripture so you can actually see and understand that there's nothing new under the sun. God has always been faithful to warn his people. He's always been faithful to send out messengers of righteousness and preaching the word and teaching the word to let people know what time it is, to get people ready for what God was about to do next. And that's why I'm here tonight ministering this word to you, so you can build for eternity, so you can be prepared to receive the Lord Jesus when he comes back, so that you can be a part of that glorious church without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. You've got to understand the time in which we're living. You've got to be wise, and you've got to discern the time in which you're living. And you can't become intoxicated with the ways and the thinking and the dealings of this world. But you've got to separate, come apart from them, link yourself up to God, and stay the course. Hallelujah. And then you not only will save yourself, but I believe God can work mightily through you to influence and to save and to help others come into the fold. Because see, God prepared an ark of safety for Noah. While everyone else was subject to the destruction around, God prepared an ark of safety for him. And the scripture goes on to say here in 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse 9 that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. You see, God knows how to separate the wheat from the chaff. He waits until right up until the very end. Jesus said, "Oh, you wait. That's okay. We see the tares growing up with the wheat, but we're going to let them grow. Leave them right there." Because at harvest time, at judgment time, there will be a separation. There will be a separation of the godly from the ungodly. God is a just God. Understand that those who are in Christ Jesus, who are walking and with God and living for God, they will be preserved. Their lives will be blessed. But those who choose an alternate path, who choose the way of the world, theirs will be destruction and eternal judgment. So this is a serious time in which we're living. And it's time for us to become sober in our thinking. You know, the world wants you to think everything is la-di-da-di, easy going, whatever I feel like doing, let me do it. Whatever sin I can think of, if I want to have sex with a child, if I want to have sex with somebody that's my sex, if I want to, you know, cheat and steal and lie and be corrupt and unfaithful and whatever I can do, you know, whatever feels good, and do all the drugs I want and all the alcohol I want and party all I want, you know, that's okay. You know, I can do that and I can still have a great life and still go into eternity with God. I mean, some people actually believe that. That's how deceived people can become. But there is a heaven and there is a hell, and there is a God who judges faithfully. Now, Jesus Christ has saved every man. We have to, in return, receive that salvation for it to be appropriated to us individually. But if you're out there in the darkness and the dullness of the world system, you're limiting your ability to hear God and to walk out the plan of God. Just like the people in Noah's day heard Noah preaching to them. He preached to them. He told them about what was about to happen in the earth, but they would not hear it. And the Bible goes on here in 2 Peter chapter 2. And it says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are great in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. The Bible says there is a reward for unrighteousness, and we're going to look at the rewards that await us in eternity and how we want to build for that and prepare for that. But on either side, there are rewards. There's a reward for the righteous, and there's a reward for the unrighteous. And it says these people that live this way, that riot in the daytime, that love to speak evil of the things they don't even understand. You know, they talk about the word and they talk about Christians, about our faith and what we believe and our morals. And they don't even know what they're talking about. They don't even understand what they're talking about. All of these God refers to as spots and blemishes. And we know, based on Ephesians 5, that the glorious church is without spot and blemish. So if we're going to be a part of that church that God's coming back for, then we've got to make sure we don't fall into the category of a spot and a blemish, and that our lives are holy and pure before God. This is the hour for holy living. Yes, when everything around us is as perverted as it could possibly be. I'm not very old myself, but in my short lifetime, I have seen things go from being moderate to extremely perverted in just a short window of time. And that lets you know that the time is short and things are wrapping up. And so the devil, he's busy trying to take as many people out as he can, because he knows his time is wrapping up. And that's why you've seen the increase in wickedness and perversion, the multiplied sexual images and every type of abuse and addiction that could be imaginable. It's flooding the lives of people and ruining the lives of people every day. Hatred and murder and all types of evil, wicked things overtaking people because they have forsaken the Lord and what he says is right, and come under subjection to him, and instead live to please themselves. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says that, knowing this, in verse 3, that there shall come in the last days, and we are living in the last days. We are in the last of the last days, as a matter of fact. Scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by in the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So the Bible says in the last days there are going to be people that are going to walk around and scoff and laugh at this notion that the Lord is on his way back and say, oh, that's just those preachers saying that again. They've been saying that forever. They were saying that when my grandmother was a child, that the Lord was on his way back. Well, where is he? I hadn't seen him. He hadn't come yet. That's a scoffing attitude. And so that person is walking after his own lust or her own lust. And they have no belief, no faith in the truth and the reality that Jesus will come back. He will come back. And if we're not ready, there will be, for lack of a better phrase, hell to pay. We can't afford to fall into that category. We have to be those who love his appearing, who expect his appearing, who look for him, who anticipate him. Because the Bible says when we live that way, we purify ourselves. If you know that the Lord could come at any moment, then isn't your inclination and your mindset to live as uprightly and honorably as you possibly can? If you know that on the other side of his appearing, it's going to be a judgment to give you your due reward based upon what you did in this life and in this earth, wouldn't you be trying to work as hard as you could to make sure that you got the most rewards and the best rewards and that you did all that the Lord called you to do and you honored and pleased him? That's the difference in the mentality. And in our thoughts and how we think about these things are a key factor. And we're going to look at that as well within this study, because we have to have our minds trained to think upon the return of the Lord so that it's ever present and fresh in our hearts and in our thoughts, and in how it then translates into how we live. And we are purifying ourselves and we are purging out the things that the Lord shows and reveals to us through his word and by his spirit, so that we can be transformed again into that glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So let's talk in light of that about godliness, because as I mentioned before, this is about holy living. I mean, a large part of our, and really the major part of our preparing for eternity has to do, and building for eternity has to do with our godliness and us being like God, so that we can be judged in the fullness of what God has for us and receive the fullness of what he wants to give us. And the Bible has quite a bit to say about godliness. You know, I know we've been focusing on the fact that there, you know, that we're living in a very dark time. We're focusing on, and we've studied and looked at the fact that there's judgment that comes with an ungodly lifestyle and with a sinful lifestyle, and that God will warn people. He will send ministers and preachers and anybody he can get to warn you and to teach you and to instruct you. But at some point, you have to make a choice. This life is all about choices. And the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, that we have to choose between life and death and blessing and cursing. God sets it before us, and then we must choose. If we choose life, if we choose to obey, then blessing is the fruit and the reward. However, if we choose to disobey, then we choose death and we choose a curse. That's not what we want. We want to build for an eternity of glory. Hallelujah. So with regard to godliness, I want to share out of 1 Timothy chapter 4 as we start looking at godliness. And there the scripture tells us, and I'm just going to get there in my Bible. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. The scripture says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." Did you hear that? Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, which means living a godly life is going to make things good for you right now, in the here and now, while you're on this earth. And it's also going to make sure that things are wonderful for you in the life which is to come, meaning in eternity. Hallelujah. That's what godliness gives you. It gives you an assurance that your life is going to be blessed, that things are going to go well for you, and that when you cross over into eternity, your rewards are going to be great, and you're going to be in a great level of glory because of your faithfulness to God. You see, eternity and heaven specifically, I believe, consists of levels and realms of reward and authority. Just like in this natural realm, we have, for instance, a military, and there are various ranks and levels of authority in the military based on a person's skill level, based on their training, based on their faithfulness to that service. It's the same way in the kingdom of God. We're the army of the Lord. And so if you, as a member of the army of the Lord, have, you know, barely graduated from boot camp and basic training, and you've never really fully given yourself to the Lord, but yet you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, well, you'll get into heaven, but your level of authority and your level of reward will be less than that person who sold out to God to the best of their ability, who may have, absolutely, we all make mistakes, but continue to get up and to keep going and to pursue the Lord and to honor God and to do those things that they knew to do. Well, that person's going to be on a whole nother level than you. And praise God, I don't believe we'll be able to even be jealous at that point, but there would be no need to be jealous or upset because we each had the opportunity in this life. See, this is the life where you prove to God what you really believe, what your devotion to Him. This is the probationary period, so to speak. Your life on earth is really like a probationary period, if you want to think of it that way, in preparation for your life in eternity with the Lord. And so this is the time when you get to prove your dedication and your commitment and your willingness to take a stand against every evil thing that comes up against you. Because when we get to heaven, there won't be any temptation. There won't be any evil to resist. So we can give God more glory here on this earth right now than we could ever give Him at any other time. Yes, we'll give Him glory throughout the ages to come and throughout eternity, but this is a unique time in this lease of 6,000 years that He's given mankind on this earth, in which we, who are confronted day in and day out with the schemes and the tricks and the evil, wicked spirits of the enemy, have a chance to resist those things, to constantly choose life, to constantly choose right, to constantly choose God and His way and what He says. This is the time when we can give Him glory like no other. And so this is our probationary period to show God how much we love Him and to honor Him and to influence others for Him. Because that's really what authority is all about. It's about your influence. And that influence will carry over into heaven. It will carry over into eternity. And you'll just continue to go up, up, up. Wherever you are, the good news is you can always go up. You can always increase. There's always increase in God. But I want to enter on the highest level that I possibly can and then shoot off from there to the Lord's glory. I want God to have the best of my life. Not the leftovers, not what I can muster out after I've done everything that I thought that I might ever want to do, that felt good to me, that looked good to me, that sounded good to me, but that was not the plan and purpose of God for my life. No, I want to know God's purpose and plan, and then I want to fulfill it. Hallelujah. So the Bible says that godliness is profitable. Hear that. You profit. I think we all know what profit is. You profit when you live a godly life. There is no loss in God. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, that the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. That means you don't lose out when you serve God. You don't lose out when you obey God. When God commands you to love those that hate you, to love your enemies, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself, and to give and to tithe and to forgive and to serve and to go to church and all the things that He puts in this word for our well-being, It's for our good. It's for our profit. It's not to cause us to lose out on fun or anything. That's what makes life fun. The peace that you have knowing that God has got your back and that you're walking with Him and you can hear His voice and your His protection is over your life so that when everybody else goes down, you're still standing. Hallelujah. That's what life is all about. And godliness gives you that security and it brings profit into your life. It brings benefits into your life. Hallelujah. So wherever you are in your life today, you need to begin to judge yourself. And if there are things, if there's sin, I'm just going to call it out. If there is sin in your life in any way, in any area, get rid of it. Go before God. Repent. Ask Him to help you. Cry out to God. Don't continue to turn a deaf ear. Don't continue to mock the word of God and to mock the things of God. Because the Bible says clearly in Galatians chapter 6 that God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that and that only shall he reap. So if you want to reap a life of blessing, if you want to reap the good things that God has for you, then you're going to have to sow obedience. You're going to have to sow holiness and godliness and blessing. But guess what? You're going to be positioned to reap a life of wonderful benefits, a life of profit. Hallelujah. The scripture also tells us regarding godliness in 2 Peter. I'm going to go back over there, chapter 1. And I love this scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1. It says there that according as His divine power, in its verse 3, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto His glory and virtue. Here the Bible says that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. What does that mean? That means that you have what it takes to live a godly life. God has given you everything you need to walk before Him in an upright, godly, and holy manner. He didn't make a commandment for you to be holy and for you to live a godly, upright life and then not give you what you need to do it. No, He's given you everything you need, and that's how you need to begin to think. You need to be able to see and say about yourself that I have what it takes to live a godly life. I have within me the Spirit of God Himself, who is all the while effectually at work in me both to will and do His good pleasure. I have the mind of Christ, so my mind lifts me up into a realm of godliness, into a realm of godly thinking and reasoning and understanding. I have the Word of the living God that teaches me the principles and precepts of God, of how I am to live, how I am to conduct myself, how I am to relate to others, how I'm to handle the affairs and the matters of life. You have what it takes, child of God, to live a life of godliness to the honor and glory of God. God has given you everything. Not one thing was left out. Not one minute detail was omitted. When God created you and you were reborn in Christ Jesus, you were equipped with everything you needed to live out the life of a born-again Christian in success. Hallelujah. There is no failure in our God. Therefore, there is no failure in us. If we will simply lay hold to what God has to say about us, say to us, and get in line with that, we will see the power of God come to bear in our situations and circumstances. I know at times, you know, people may do things to us that may be hurtful, for instance. And at that moment, you may be thinking in your natural mind, and notice I said in your natural mind, how can I forgive this person? Oh, they hurt me so badly. They really betrayed me, or they did whatever it is they've done. But do you know you have the power within you to forgive? God would not have commanded you to forgive, which is godly, if you didn't have the ability and the power within you to forgive. You have everything you need that pertains to life and godliness. You just have to draw from it. And what's going to help you in those times of temptation, in those trying times? What's going to help you to do the right thing and to go the distance? It's what you do every day. Your everyday routine of living has to be centered around the Lord and around His word and around His principles and His precepts and His teaching. That's why it's important to read and study your Bible. That's why it's important to develop a prayer life and an intimacy with the Lord. That's why it's important to go to church and hear good Bible-based teaching and instruction from the Word of God that teaches you how to live this life as a Christian. That's why it's good to have godly brothers and sisters in the Lord that you can fellowship with to strengthen one another and keep one another accountable. These are not just a list of religious do's and don'ts that God has set up just so that he can impose upon you. These are safeguards and these are tools and mechanisms that God has given to us so that we can continue to learn and grow, and that we have what it takes in that hour of temptation, in that time of testing, to do the right thing, to prove and to bring forth godly fruit that pleases the Father and that honors him. I believe your heart tonight is to know God in a deeper and a more intimate way. But if there's someone that's listening that has never actually made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, now is the acceptable time. Now is the time of salvation. You don't want to go another moment without receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because without him, your eternity is hell. So right now, repeat this after me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. I repent of my sins, and I receive you now. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.